I know I pleased her and helped her when I think about it, you know, and I go, you know, the kids really do like Starburst.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
It's going great, Scott. This is a busy day. You know, you have those unanticipated things that you have to do. Well, today's one of those days. And it's going to turn into maybe a couple days. But I'm still smiling, and Easter is coming this weekend, so that's a big deal. And we talk this way every year. You know, Easter, in my head, I imagine Easter like, you know, kind of a special Sunday morning. Maybe the kids dress up a little bit more. I can remember as a kid, we had Easter baskets that has nothing to do with the real meaning of Easter. We all know that. But my, you know, I would have things in there. Like, I can remember I had a plastic Frankenstein. like you made a Frankenstein, and one time I had a plastic Godzilla. I don't know if my parents thought I was into models or what, those plastic super simple models. You know, the true meaning of Thanksgiving or Easter, see, I'm messed up. We never did egg hunts when I was a kid, but now we do them in our house, and they're tons of fun. In the afternoon, you know, my wife will, and we'll put out, I don't know how many, a couple hundred of those plastic eggs all over our yard. And then we have this big egg that has, you know, a couple bags of candy in it. And that's always the pinnacle. We sign it every year. So we know who the winner is. But in my head, it seems like it's always kind of fun. And so it always startles me when my wife says, I hate Easter. And I'm like, why? And really, it's for the same reason she hates Christmas, because of all the responsibility that falls on her. And I would like to say, yeah, but I help. But truthfully, I don't help much. So I was just thinking, Scott, now I don't know if your wife feels the same way. Does she?
I help a lot, Todd. I'm a good husband. You a bad husband?
Everybody, all the dads listening are now rolling their eyes like, that we know you. We know you.
I help. I hide a lot of the eggs.
Well, I know. Where do those eggs come from?
Then we just pull them out of the garage. I find them out of the garage too. I do a lot.
Do you?
Yes.
Why am I skeptical of that?
Because you're a bad man.
I'm a believer.
Huh? Because you're a bad man too.
Well, good for you, Scott. You know, I hide the eggs too, but I don't buy all the stuff that goes in the eggs. I don't fill the eggs.
I help fill them. I don't usually end up buying the stuff.
That's good. But, you know, all those things that I kind of take for granted. But I know that every once in a while that like last night, my wife and I went out for dinner, which we haven't been in a couple of weeks, and it felt good. And dad, just again, maybe you haven't had a date. Dates are cleansing. You know, they really are. I can tell my wife feels better. She feels closer to me. She feels non-responsible just for a little while. And we can talk. And the talk's not always like lots of fun, but that even last night we were talking about something, and it was one of those kind of good heated talks where you can just go, yeah, but, and nobody walks away and goes, well, fine, if you're going to be that way, you know, and it was just a good conversation. So last night, you know, as we were looking for some Easter candy and stuff like that, I was trying to be very intentional about listening and giving my honest opinion, because I don't know about you, Scott, but when my wife goes, I don't know, what do you think we should put in at like the noun laters or Starburst or, and I'm like, they're the same. What does it matter? They're just a little cube, you know? When I do that, I know I frustrate her because she thinks about it. She thinks about what will fit in the egg, what the kids like and all that. But I know I pleased her and helped her when I think about it, you know, and I go, You know, the kids really do like Starburst, and you know, the colors do go with those Easter eggs. Why don't we do Starburst for the, we'll put one in each, you know? And then she's like, okay, and she'll put it in there, and she feels good by that. She doesn't feel good when I just kind of blow it off and say, what does it matter? Just get some candy. It doesn't matter, because it just feels overwhelming to her. I know even this morning she asked me if I would look at some things that she'd gotten the kids. Like, she got Maggie a dress, and she got the boys like new swimming suits. And she said, which one do you think should go with each kid? And luckily, I guessed right. But I thought about it. I said, you know, this one looks like Abe. She goes, yeah, I think so too. This one looks like Cal. Yeah, well, that's the one I said too. You know, and she felt good at the end of it. When, you know, again, in my head, I'm thinking it doesn't really matter. They're all look fine. They all like him. So, Dad, here's your Easter encouragement. You know, if you're normally like a good Scot and, you know, does everything by himself, way to go.
Keep up the good work. That. I do help, though. I'm not a total slacker. And for the record, to avoid all the candy choosing, we just get money and put it in their eggs. Coins really work nicely, yes.
Wow, that's
and then
nice.
We give them a basket that's got some candy and stuff in it.
Okay. Well,
but that solves the egg problem of trying to figure out what to put in each egg and what'll fit and all that.
But if you're not like perfect Scot, who does everything, and you're more like me, you know, maybe you don't have to take it over, because my wife says, fine, if you don't think that's a good idea, you can do the whole thing. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And she goes, and I almost went, 1,000, 2,000. And she goes, I'm not letting you do it. You know, because I knew she wouldn't be able to turn those reins over to me. But if you're like me, maybe you could just offer your help. You know, hey, honey, is there anything I can do to help get ready for Easter morning? You know, maybe just when she asks your opinion, give a thoughtful opinion. Maybe it's not about Easter. Maybe it's about something else. Maybe it's about something else that you don't really care about. You need to care about it because you care about your wife, because I think that's what they hear, that you don't care about me. And so help make this Resurrection Sunday a good one, because it is good. Even though there's a lot of preparations and dads maybe not do tons of it, it is a good time to not just do family stuff, but to celebrate his resurrection, because his resurrection, you know, I always think of the song, and they play it less and less every year. The Bill Gaither song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, you know, and then they get that real high, because he lives, you know, but it's true that it gives meaning to family. It gives meaning to be the dad, because I think it really would. We'd be the most pitied if there was no resurrection and we weren't going there. So by the way, we've done this in the past, and to remind you again, if you just really want to score some points with your girls, you should pick up some corsages. Sometimes they're kind of hard to find. You can go to a florist, you can order them. I've done that in the past. And I know maybe some of my daughters would like them, others do not. I know that my son-in-law got them for his wife, which was a good guy, because his father-in-law, me, had gotten for his daughter, and she didn't expect it. But it was kind of, it became part of that special tradition. My wife could care less. She doesn't want a flower. She goes, don't give me a flower. But there are other places you can get them. Sometimes if you go to Kroger or your other big chain, your Piggly Wiggly or your Publix, they might have them pre-made, and you can get one, stick it in the refrigerator, and, you know, surprise your daughters. They'll think it's fun. Every little girl likes to have a little flower that their dad got them, and they remember it forever. And, you know, the cool thing about it is not just, it doesn't just show them how much their dad loves them, but really it makes the resurrection even more powerful, because when they think of you, they think of the resurrection, you know, and it's hard to pull away from that. You know, it keeps them on the right path where they're supposed to be going. So, this is another conundrum. I don't think I've ever used that word. Add that to the list. Conundrum on this. Scott, I don't know if you, do you feel this way? Because I feel like a growing anger at all my Christian friends, because they all have kids and they're about my kids' age. and they're all going on summer missions trips.
And that makes you mad
at
them?
And they're sending me letters.
Oh, I got it.
To pay for it.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't know. I can't even tell you how many I've gotten. I bet you I've gotten at least 10, you know, and they're all, in fact, I think I got three on one day. They all came in kind of the same envelopes. And I just don't know what to do because I'm finding myself getting bothered by this. Because sometimes they go on them every summer.
Yeah.
What do you do, Scott? How do you handle this?
I don't get those.
Perfect, Scott.
I don't get those because people know I'm broke. So,
honey, don't send it there. It's like you can't get blood out of a turnip.
Yes.
The well is dry. But even my kids, they're getting letters from same said people. And some of my kids are poor, you know, the married kids. And they're like, Dad, you know, I told them I could give them, I think, $5 a month. And then they asked me for more, you know.
Having been on the fundraising side of missions work at one point in my life, it's weird. I'm very unsympathetic. I'll tell people the whole sad, sordid details of the dark side of ministry if they want to hear about it. I feel like that's my role.
That's another podcast, I think, right?
Well, I'm not going to do that here now, but like I almost feel like that's my role. Because when you go into full-time ministry work that you have to raise support for, you know, everybody tells you, oh, God, I'll provide it. It's going to be awesome. You're doing great. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen for you. You know, you might have the fun where, you know, you get $20 for your paycheck for the month and that's what you have to live on. So I tend to burst their bubbles. But also for some reason, I don't know, that just makes me feel like, you know what? I just don't feel bad about it. I don't ever feel bad about saying no when someone's begging me for money.
And I don't either because I have kind of a seared conscience.
Yeah. So, maybe that's it. Maybe I just have a cold heart. I don't know.
In fact, I told my kids, hey, why don't you just send them all a letter and say, you're going to go to Florida just to goof off and you wonder if they could pay. Because, you know, it is a little hard when one of them was going to a camp where they're going to help kids in Hawaii.
Yeah, really, it doesn't have to be anything you worry about. And I've done that too, where I'm like, I think all about it and what response I should give. You don't have to put any effort into saying no to these people. It is a math game when you're raising support for something. You know you've got to ask 100 people to get 4 of them to say yes. So you can be happily one of those 96 people that says no. It's really no big deal.
I agree with you. But sometimes I feel, because sometimes, though, it doesn't feel like this is a great passion, you know, that God has put in their hearts to go do. I'm a little more willing when I feel that is the case, you know.
Oh, well, and it gets really fun when you've done some of the behind-the-scenes research on the long-term effects of short-term mission trips and how little they actually do.
On their end. Yeah, right. And I totally get it when you go somewhere and it could be life changing for the person who goes. I mean, there have been times I thought, oh, I'd like to send a couple of my kids to a third world country so they can see that there isn't a McDonald's on every street corner, you know, so they can see that they don't all get to have UFOs for shoes, you know. And so I get that. I'm even okay with that. But when I just struggle when it feels a little like it's too much fun, you know, or it feels too fun. I don't know. And when it seems like it's all the time, you know, like they're going multiple years in a row. So dads, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is to, I mean, I think Scott gave the right answer that we don't have to feel guilty if we don't give. But I wonder too, if sometimes we should teach our kids, and I don't know, I'm just thinking off the cuff here, that there should be a sacrifice on their own end, you know, like some of them aren't very, they're not tons of money. And I mean, some of these summer projects are $2,000 and under. I don't know why they don't save their own money and spend that.
Or do a car wash or, you know.
Or whatever. But I've known, like I had a missionary friend, and again, I'm not judging because I don't want to judge because I don't know anything, you know, but I knew a missionary friend who said he was going on the field and he was selling his house, and he was just gonna put the money aside, you know, and then he was gonna raise support. I understand that. That's probably makes a lot of sense. But I also know other missionaries who've sold everything they had and put everything they had into going, you know, and it just feels like they have some skin in the game. And I think sometimes, you know, some of our kids don't have any skin in the game. And it's just kind of like this thing they do. They just send out letters because, again, when you get 10 different letters, and I know lots of those parents have lots of money and they could.
Well, they get tired of that, too. I mean, we used to hear it all the time from my father-in-law because he's got the MD after his name. Right. And he was like, man, he'd get hundreds of those letters every year. And it's like,
everybody
just assumes because you're a doctor, you've got all the money in the world. And you're just made of money for their mission trips. So I don't know. I don't think you need to feel guilty about it.
Do you think it's an unalienable right? And you can put MD beside your name too, Scott, you know, mega dad.
Yes. Here's the thing. God loves a cheerful giver.
I know that. That's true.
If you're not going to be cheerful about it, don't do it.
That is a good point. But do you think it's an unalienable right for kids to have to go on those trips?
Not at all.
Because, I mean, our churches are really, they're clamoring for our kids every year. You know, they're saying, hey, we're going to this place again this year. You know, we'd love you to go. I mean, I'm really more excited when the kid goes, I'm going to Des Moines, Iowa, you know, because they're going to do a camp, you know, and they need some helpers. And we need $85 or something like that, as opposed to, you know, I'm going to Hawaii.
I'm of two minds about this whole thing, and I'm probably saying way too much. So forgive me if I'm wasting precious airtime here.
No, I'm the one who's ranting and raving.
I loved my youth group when I was in high school, but our kids don't even go to youth group. None of them liked youth group, so they never got involved in that.
That would be a good program, actually, sometime, because I feel of the same mindset. Yeah. And I know a lot of people, there are guys listening now who are saved in youth groups. I totally get that.
Yeah.
You know, and who do youth work, but I think that would be an interesting topic of discussion.
I think I'm said too much about it already, so.
Listeners are dropping off.
Seriously, give cheerfully. Give till it hurts if you feel like it, but if you don't, then don't do it. If you're going
to
be bitter.
This would be a great time to say, and you know, you can make those checks out to Family Man Ministries.
Yeah, if you're going to be bitter about it, man, that's because I think there's
I'm getting there.
Sure,
I'm getting there.
No, I know, but I mean, anybody's going to be bitter about giving to wherever, like, that's not going to work well.
But I'll let you know that if you ever feel bitter about giving to me, I'm good with that. Be bitter and give.
There you go.
So anyway, like I said, I've got a busy day, so I'm going to keep this short. Dad, thanks for letting me rant and rave there. And, you know, it's all part of being a dad, because it's kind of like, there's just that constant wrestling over all these things. You know, we had a son who someone said, would you like to go to the prom? Well, I don't feel very good about proms, honestly. And, you know, I had this conversation with him, and it was a great conversation. And we haven't come to an answer yet. But it's that one of those things that you just kind of, we're just constantly grappling. You know, and I think sometimes it's easy to just check out and say, oh, I don't want to do this. But it's just part of being a dad. So don't give up. Don't grow weary, you know, and pray for one another. If you got a dad friend who's struggling, you know, maybe as soon as we close up here, you could pray for him. Because I know, I mean, I just got a letter from a stranger dad that I don't know him. And I appreciate you're always welcome to pass on my phone number to anybody you would like to. But a guy said, you know, his wife wants a divorce. And, you know, it's just hard. And there are no simple, easy answers. But just don't grow weary. Or again, I think we mentioned maybe a couple of weeks ago, I had an email from a single dad who just feels like, you know, he's kind of a second class dad, that we forget the single dads. If you've got a dad, or you are a dad who doesn't have a wife, you know, I get it. I mean, I know it's really, really hard. You're not alone. There are a lot of people, a lot of dads, but your role is still the same. You still got to be the dad. You got to still stay in the game. I got an email just 2 days ago from a dad who's going through a painful divorce, and He was with his boys and they were at Legoland in Florida. And I'm like, that's what dads do. Even when they're going through a divorce, they don't pull out. They don't pull away. But pray for the dad that maybe comes to your mind right now, even as we're kind of closing this thing down. Dad, have a great Resurrection Sunday. Stay involved. Ask your wife how you can help. If you're not sure what to do, kind of picture Scott in your brain and just try to emulate him. And everything will be okay.
That'll be a first.
And we'll see you on the other side of Easter. And, you know, do it all because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
Started recording, so you better be ready.
Oh, you're ready now, okay.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
I think we need to take two on that, Scott. Just like a, what is your, I mean, there's a whole world out there that counts on you to say, hey, Todd, how's it going? You know, in your chipper Scott voice. Take two.